Hey, we're back in the Generalized studio.
That's right. This thing's studio, fancy.
Yeah, I know. This is our new studio. So who are you? What is this?
My name's Brian Keller. We're right back here with This Week on Channel 9.
I'm Dan Fernandez.
That's right.
And so this is our new studio. We're giving it a run for its money. We can do some screencasts in here. And really, it's all about the content.
It's all about the content. It's all about the conversation.
Oh, yeah. And the conversation this week.
It's about the community.
This week, Office 365, our first story.
That's right. So Office 365, gosh, was it this week that it released? Was it last week? I can't even remember.
This week.
Yeah, so it's this week. So now, of course, along with that, there's a bunch of great developer content. Chris Mayo posting all about all the different ways that you can rock it out as a developer.
Yeah, so big stuff is SharePoint development is, and for people, let's just level set.
Yeah.
So obviously we're very excited.
Yep.
But Office 365 gives you SharePoint, Link, which is the ability to do things like IM and have a number of real-time collaboration ways, including voice, IM, and so forth.
Yep.
Exchange.
Yep.
And then in SharePoint. The Excel services and the Access services.
Okay, we need two more.
Do we need two more?
No,
I'm sure I'm forgetting one.
Yeah, you have five seconds.
Yeah. And of course, all the other Office, you know, document management, all the stuff in SharePoint. SharePoint's kind of like the biggest umbrella there because everything ties into SharePoint. Look at his hands.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah. So Exchange. Ooh. Did we say Exchange?
Yes, we said Exchange. Yeah.
I don't know how many times we have to
say
Exchange.
So obviously, you know, SharePoint has a lot of developer integration points. Chris shows you how to take care of that.
As does Exchange. As does Link.
As do all
So you can
those.
Do things like find out people's presence in a WPF app, for example.
That's right.
Lots of cool stuff to check out. And the SharePoint Access stuff is always really interesting. So the idea is, so some of the scenarios are small, medium business. Some of them are enterprise. Mm-hmm. You can imagine a medium business, 2,500 people, they don't want to manage Exchange. Mm-hmm. They don't want to manage SharePoint. Mm-hmm. They sign up for this, and there's a price per user.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty cheap, actually. I don't remember exactly offhand what it is.
And it depends on the features that you want. There's a number of things that go into the pricing. But the moral of the story is you can get a SharePoint, set up something for maybe it's ordering inventory inside your company. Mm-hmm. You can have a workflow in the back end. There can be a back end database to, say, order a new mouse, whatever it happens to be.
A new mouse.
Is that not how you say it?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure it's
Moose. Maybe the Great White North, it's Moose.
I'm pretty sure it's Moose. The whole point is developers can reuse a lot of the same SharePoint experience that they have, building web parts and building workflow and so forth.
Cool. Great stuff.
Yeah, good stuff. Which brings us to our next story, IE10.
That's right. The IE10 Platform Preview 2, long-awaited, is finally out there. So I'm going to get my mom using this. No, probably not. But no, this is great. It's got some cool new things for developers. It's got the web workers, is what they're called. So what's web workers all about?
So think about web workers. And I know it's funny. Back in the Popfly days, got a name drop on failed products I've worked on.
Yeah.
The first version of Popfly was actually all JavaScript, and we eventually moved to using Silverlight. But the first version, one of the biggest challenges we had is wanting to do a lot of async stuff. Mm-hmm. So there's a number of just things where you really wanted the equivalent concept for .NET developers would be threading. So I could put something in a background worker, if you will. I could spin up a thread and just tell it to do this code. That's really what those worker processes are. Mm-hmm. It's bringing that capability to JavaScript.
If only Popfly supported that.
Then
you'd still be around.
Burn. So there's a lot of stuff in IE10. That's one of my favorite. Drag and drop is another one. Mm-hmm. File API. CSS. There's a ton of CSS 3 stuff in there. And a number of videos as well that you'll be able to watch with our Ari Bixhorn.
Yeah, friend Ari Bixhorn posting all this stuff. My mom's going to love this. So the Windows Phone SDK 7.1 Beta 2. So this is what we're calling Mango. Mm-hmm. So Mango developer tools, if you're developing for it, go grab the new beta. It just came out today, I believe, or yesterday, depending on when you're watching this.
True.
Yeah, so you're rocking Mango.
Yeah, I've had the new Mango on not just the tools but the phone part. So I've had the phone for 4 hours and I wholly endorse it so far.
Fantastic.
I'm not sure what I can actually say about it, but there are some features that I really like about it. So.
Well, a lot of them have been announced. So like the threaded email, that's one that I want to get.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. The first thing I did was open email, of course.
Yep.
And I was like, ooh, delete, and that whole
conversation. The whole tree goes away. Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. And actually, in unrelated, well, tangentially related, Angry Birds is out now for Windows Phone.
That's right,
so
that's right.
So you can go download that. I just bought that.
So good stuff to play with.
Yep.
CDN helpers.
That's right. Speaking of the Great White North, eh? So Canadians, eh?
We're talking
about content distribution networks that run in Canada. Right?
Yes, so the idea with these is CDN helpers. It's a library that basically takes things like your JavaScript and CSS files from MVC app.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use it, say, in Razor, for example, and it puts it on a content delivery network. So
right.
that way, that means
like
the CSS, the JavaScript
network.
Is all in the 16 or so CDNs mm-hmm. across the world that Azure has. And you don't have to worry about that. There's not a call to yours. If there's a call to one CDN, it's automatically cached.
Yeah.
All the CDN, you know, uptime stuff is there, and it's a pay-as-you-go model as well.
Right.
The other cool part about this library is if you're using, for example, libraries that it knows to not, so it doesn't hit your network.
Like jQuery.
Like jQuery, mm-hmm. exactly right. So since the ASP.NET team hosts the jQuery, if you're referencing jQuery, it actually knows to use that resource. And you can actually change these up in an XML file if you really wanted to. So it's a pretty simple one, but it's like, hey, how do I maximize my site? Especially
right.
after we had the Jeff Atwood MVC tooling that helps
profile your MVC applications.
Yeah, and one of the biggest suggestions there is to use some of the features for YUI and to measure website and use a CDN where possible.
Right,
is one of the key recommendations.
So CDN minification, it's a multi-pronged strategy, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
So very cool stuff.
That's great, and it helps Canadians too. So RX Workshop. So
yes.
RX is finally RTM'd.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So so the workshop actually is we have
it's like,
Wes Dyer,
RX? Yes.
Bart DeSemet, 6-part series.
That's right. And so, you know, it's not for the faint of heart. This is something that, frankly, I don't understand completely, but I intend to sit down and watch the workshop and learn all about it. But it's really good to see these guys coming up with a dedicated series on Channel 9 to talk about that.
Cool. Yeah, it seems like a lot of excitement from some of the hardcore Channel 9 folks on using RX.
My mom is also very excited about this. Yes. Between this and the platform preview, she just doesn't know what to do with herself.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's difficult to choose what toys to play with on weekends.
Exactly.
I'm there with you, man.
Yep.
So now this is something you actually, did you actually do work or are you just taking credit? Because I know.
No, I did work for this.
I know you like taking credit for stuff.
I do.
So.
I do, but I also like doing work. No, not really. But yes, this is the Visual Studio 2010 training kit, which my team maintains. And we actually just refreshed it. This now includes a new set of ALM labs. So there's a lot of new testing labs that we built and put in here. And it's also fully tested and supported for SP1. So Visual Studio 2010 SP1, .NET Framework SP1, all that good stuff. We've made sure that it works with that. That includes a new Application Lifecycle Management virtual machine, which has SP1 on it and all that goodness. So it's taken us a little while. We were a little behind schedule with Tech Ed and a lot of the other stuff happening, but finally managed to get that published and pretty excited about it.
Cool.
Yeah.
So another fun one, Robert Green goes through next episode of Visual Studio Toolbox. It's called Perf Watson.
Yeah, I really love what Robert's doing with the Toolbox show. He's got some great content, some great guest speakers coming on, and he's looking at a lot of the, you know, oftentimes on Channel 9 we're looking at the shiny new stuff, the stuff that may be coming out 6 months, 12 months, 15 months down the road.
Right.
Robert's showing you stuff that chances are you already have. Right, and you just don't
know. Or that you
can
use today.
It. You can use today, right? Exactly. So Perf Watson's one of those things that, you know, hopefully you haven't seen, but I'm sure a lot of you have seen, where sometimes your system slows down while you're using Visual Studio.
Well, this is the idea is when that happens, you can actually download this from the gallery, so that when it analyzes your system, so when it does that, it'll actually know and understand what's going on. So really, it's about UI.
Right.
So sometimes, and I hear this from people, probably more so when they were first using Visual Studio 2010, the betas, that their UI was unresponsive. Like, they click on something, they go to expand a folder, and for whatever reason, you know, the Visual Studio UI just hangs.
We did a lot of work in the release candidate to try and fix that and address customer feedback, and a lot of that was because of results of that we were getting from people that were sending these reports.
So Perf Watson, basically what it does is you install the Visual Studio Gallery add-in, and it does this stuff for you. So it actually does it automatically and knows what's going on in the background and sends the WER, Windows Error Reporting, I think it is, is the acronym for all the stuff. So when you have that unresponsive UI, it's automatically doing stuff. You can send information in. It'll let you know, like, hey, if there's a QFE for some fix, for example, you know, let's say there's some weird thing where if you're connecting to certain versions of a database,
or with a certain type of GPU, then you've got a problem.
Something,
right?
Yeah. Right, exactly.
So there's a guy named Dr. Watson. He sits in Building 5.
There should have, like, a total fake interview with Dr. Watson.
Yeah, we
Where did you get your degree, Dr. Watson?
Can you take a look at this rash?
And there's really no way to transition to the .NET MF Micro Framework CodePlex
project. In order
to
show this rash to Dr. Watson, you need to share some additional personal information. Is this okay? Show me the information I'm sharing. Anyway, .NET MF CodePlex project. So this is a rollout by our friend Greg Duncan.
We found it from Greg Duncan. It's actually a roll-up from Colin Miller.
Posted it from Scott Hanselman, who actually stole it from our show last week.
Who then gives credit to everybody on CodePlex.
That's right.
So some of my favorite ones, MicroTweet. So you can actually do OAuth via a micro framework.
So I can have the little, like, humidity checker in my hey, feed me. I need water.
The example we built before was the tweeting breathalyzer.
Mm.
You need MicroTweet.
Yes.
MicroLink. Everyone loves Link.
Link to everything.
You know, connectors to cameras, Fez boards, Grommet. I have no idea what Grommet is, but I like
stuff.
The name.
Yeah.
Wallace and Grommet.
Yep.
So a lot of cool stuff.
Nice.
A lot of cool stuff. So check those out.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing is collection classes.
That's right. I mean, I'm actually kind of surprised that this post is just now getting written, that, you know, there's so many different collection classes that you can choose in the .NET framework. How do you know which one to use for what
When
situation?
To use which, yeah.
Kind of takes me back to my CS101 days of, like, am I doing a bubble sort? Am I doing
doing a bubble sort?
Yeah, of course I'm doing a bubble sort.
Of course.
Yeah. But what's your favorite collection?
Favorite collection? I think I tend to overuse dictionary.
Oh, yeah.
I tend to overuse dictionary when really, really I don't need to.
No?
Yeah, I really don't.
I
do crazy nested double collections in there, so it's like I'll have a dictionary of a dictionary of another type, and it's like I'm three levels in, and it's all inception, and then I'll be like, you know what? I really don't need this. I'll just do a quick...
Just use an encyclopedia.
No, I'll just use the goddamn index. Boom. There it is. What? Oh, you want the third element?
Yeah.
Array number two.
Nice.
There. Boom.
Nice.
So I do tend to overuse stuff. But I like this. It also gives the ON performance. You know what's going on. And it even goes into some of the old school pre.NET, pre-generics.
Oh, like java.util?
No, damn it. The lawyers. Array list, for example, and all those. So lots of stuff to check out. Definitely read this post. I think it's a good one.
Cool.
Now, Data.js.
Data.js. So
we've talked about this previously.
Well, you have. I haven't been on the show when you've talked about Data.js.
Oh, snap. But that's right. You haven't been on the show. We're not having a fight.
I told you I'm filming next week on Channel 9.
Damn it.
So so Data.js is from Jonathan Carter. It's a project he's working on, right? No? You told me that he was working on this.
I didn't say that.
Yes, you did.
I didn't say that.
Then he was working on Data.js.
Jonathan Carter worked on OData.
Oh, see, he didn't clarify that. So I don't know who to give credit to.
I love that you always give credit to the wrong people. You're like, what is this, huh?
Oh, so Greg Duncan.
Lloyd Braun worked on this project. It was Lloyd Braun and Abe Vigoda.
Okay, great. So this is how do you make OData calls from JavaScript. Working with your data there.
Absolutely. Which brings us to our Picks of the Week!
Picks of the Week. So this
Let's
is one that apparently Dan thinks that I need. It's called yeah. Phone Check.
You may need it for this show.
So apparently when I send an email like, fine, I'll get right on that, Dan interprets that as somewhat passive-aggressive.
Well, when you drop F-bombs, you know, it's like...
Fine. I said fine.
Whatever. I as letter in F, four letters, I didn't read the rest.
In my head, I'm like, fine, I'll get right on that. But apparently that's not necessarily a good thing.
Fine, I'll get right on that.
Anyway, Tone Check is a new product that allows you to look at your emails, and it'll tell you along the way as you type that, hey, you might want to rethink the way you're saying
I love the way they said it, which is emotionally charged sentences. Mm, yeah. Emotionally charged.
Yeah. So your pick of the week.
My pick of the week is Niners with Connect.
These are some really cool projects.
Yeah, so we got Slackmaster K, we got Bass, and we got Dentaku here. Some very cool samples if you haven't seen them. So one is left-hand quarter there is Ripplicious, which I love.
Yeah.
You know, even just the music of it, that's Bass's, you can check out. And he talks about some of the challenges that he had with doing nested effects to the images where he actually had to build different borders and then add an effect to that and add an effect to that.
Oh, he should use a dictionary collection.
So if he was doing a bunch of stuff, which maybe, yeah. or at least some sort of cue that it knows when the ripple effect has removed, and that way he knows he can remove it off. Maybe sorted cue, I don't know.
Bubble sorted.
By the way, his sample code is available.
That's cool.
Then we had Dentaku doing the theremin, which is a classic one. So, and Slackmaster K actually got on Engadget, so kudos to that. That's always a nice thing. And I guess he had sent his video to Lockernome, so the video is actually the Lockernome video of it. But this is more like just starting to think about what the Minority Report style interface is. So the camera follows you around, you zoom into the screen, you zoom out of the screen. So lots of cool projects.
Can I play Angry Birds with it yet?
You could.
Yeah?
Yeah, using Brian Peek's mouse connect I think it's codeplex.com.
Can I do like an augmented reality where I actually have a stuffed bird that I like pull back, because that would be cool. We'll see you next week.
That is our next version of our application, and thank you all again.